This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and today's message is one that was first published back in July of the year 2001. This happens to be February of 2024. In other words, it's almost 23 years ago. And the reason why I give you the dates, as I have explained in more of these older messages that I'm putting on audio, is that at the time that these messages were written, there may have been certain events, certain people or places or things or something that were relevant at that particular time, which is what I addressed in the message at that time, and that those things may or may not be relevant today. However, as I always say, when it comes to the Word of God, it is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, it will still be relevant. And anyone that is exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and adjust your lives according to it. Now, having said that, let's go into our message. Our message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 7, starting at verse number 24, and we're going to go down to verse number 27. And as I said, this is for July of the year 2001. And if you had the scriptures, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus that is speaking. And he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man that built his house on a rock. And the storms came and beat on it, and it fell not, because it was built on a rock. And whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not is like a foolish man that built his house on sand. And the storms came and beat on it, and great was the fall of it." The title for this message, The Storms of Life. One of the biggest problems many Christians have today is dealing with the problems that come into their lives. Some can handle them very well, while others seem to fall apart. Jesus, after finishing his Sermon on the Mount, ended it with a parable. This parable, it is plain and to the point. After listening to this message or reading this message, you should better understand why things happen and how to be better prepared to handle them. First, we see that Jesus is talking to a certain group of people. He was talking to those that had sat there and listened to him expound on how one should live their lives and treat others. Naturally, he also told them about their relationship to God. This part is primary, your relationship to God, that is. He talked about how to treat friends and enemies. He covered the whole gamut of human existence. Then he finished up with the subject scriptures, or this parable. We can tell that he was talking to those that were present because he said, "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine." That right there excludes those that have not heard his teachings. Anyway, he then went about to split the group up into two distinct smaller groups, those that followed what he said and those that ignored what he said. Notice there was no middle ground. You either did or you didn't. From there, he went on into detail about building a house. One group built their houses on a rock, or what is known as a firm foundation, while the other built theirs on sand, which is an unstable foundation. In constructing a house, it is essential that you first make the foundation sturdy and immovable. If you don't do that, then no matter how much you spend on the rest of the house, it won't be worth a plug nickel. The sturdier the foundation, the longer that house will last. The same thing can be said about our lives. The foundation that we build our lives on will determine how we hold up, not during good times, but during the storms of life. If you will notice the subject verses, Jesus said that the storms came and beat on both houses. This should let you know that just because you live your life according to what God says is right does not mean that you will not have adversity. In fact, all you have to do is look at Jesus' life and see all the adversity that he went through. And if he went through it, then you will have to as well. Jesus said, "And the storms came." Too many Christians profess to be strong in the Lord. They walk around with their chests stuck out and their heads high in the clouds. And there is nothing wrong with that. They have a reason to be like that, seeing that who they are and where they are going. But the problem is, many of them are like that because everything is rosy and bright in their lives. When things are going good for anybody, they will act as if they are the king of the world. Nothing can stop them. They are on a roll. But as soon as things start to get a little rough, then they begin to go into mild depression. They don't smile as much. They look subdued and have very little to say about anything. Some even completely withdraw from being social and active. If the problem is of massive proportions, then they go berserk or into deep depression and maybe even get suicidal. This is the scenario that I am painting of the world, the unsaved. They are like this because when things go bad, they have nothing left to fall back on. Their total focus is on their bank accounts, their health, their power and influence, and their jobs. Let either or all of them vanish, and as far as they are concerned, they might as well die. They can't cope. This is the foundation that the world is built on. Then we have those that have a much greater foundation on which their lives are built. It is one that has 100% durability, one that has stood the test of time, one that, no matter what happens, will always triumph and leave those that are anchored to it with peace of mind and victory. A glaring example of this type of rock-solid durability and the victory of those that are trusting in it is found in the book of Job in the Old Testament. Here is a man that had it all: riches, family, servants, and influence. But in one day, it all came crashing down on him. He lost everything, just about. All of his wealth, his servants, his children, and with all that, his influence. In the 20s, the same thing happened to a lot of rich people, and the result was many of them killed themselves. Talking about back in the 1920s, not the 2020s, back in the 1920s. But Job, though distressed, did not let the circumstances that came upon him cause him to act foolishly. Then, if that wasn't bad enough, some days later, he was stricken with what could be described as a form of leprosy or maybe even cancer. His wife came to him and said in so many words, "If serving God is going to get you all of this misery," talking about all the things that just happened to them, "you might as well curse God and die." Now, notice, this was his wife, his helpmeet, the one that is supposed to stand by her man. How quickly she forgot about all of the good things that they had had prior to this episode. Job said the right thing to her when he said, "Woman, you talk like some worldly person that doesn't know God. Shall we like him when things are going well and reject him when they go bad?" Job's faith in God was such that he said, "No matter how bad things are right now, I am going to wait until my change comes." This meant he knew things were going to get better and he was going to keep serving God, because without him, he had no hope. Think about that. Job did have a rough time of it, though, but his faith in God remained intact. The end result of this loyalty came when he ended up with at least 7 times more than what he had lost. I would dare say many of these shouting, tongue-talking, Bible-toting, going to church 7 days a week Christians would be just like Mrs. Job, who wanted her husband to be, if they lost 1/10 of what they had. Why? Because they are more interested in the blessings than the blesser. Their stuff is their God. They just go to church to thank God for what he has given them, and they want him to continue to add to them. If they lose one thing, they get upset. They forget that Jesus gave up everything, including his life, to be obedient to the Father. One thing about building a house on a firm foundation is that it usually costs more to build and therefore may leave you with less frills, but it will stand the test of time. A house that is built with cheap materials may allow you to have more frills and other comforts, but it will fall apart when storms come against it. Notice, when talking about this particular house that fell, he says, "Great was the fall of it." Have you ever seen or perhaps been in a house that was hit by a violent storm? Many times the house may be blown apart, meaning the walls, the roofing, or some other parts may be destroyed, but the frame remained and the house could be rebuilt. And have you seen how some houses were so demolished that it didn't even look like a house had been there at all? That is the situation. Well, that's the end of the message here. But the thing, the gist of the story here basically is that if we look at how the world looks at things, and how they deal with how we are supposed to live our lives, or they live their lives, it's all about material wealth, prosperity, health, and this, that, and the other. And people can go around and feel like they can do anything they want to do and build their lives based on their wealth and their income, their influence, and the like. And they can go on like that for years and even decades and so forth. But soon as something goes wrong, now, like I said, I wasn't alive in the 1920s when the Great Depression came, but a lot of rich people that had built their lives and things around their wealth and so forth and were popular, had prestige and all that other stuff, when the rubber hit the road and their bank accounts were wiped out, their tax, they lost their houses, and the light, the cars and influence and stuff, and had to go to soup kitchen, you know, where they used to eat before they used to eat out every night or something like that, having steaks and crab and lobster and all that other rich stuff rich people eat. And now all of a sudden they got to stand in line in a soup line to go into a soup kitchen just to get a bowl of soup, and have to be standing out there during the winter, summer, depending where they were naturally, but you know, having to face all of that, a lot of them people could not cope and they killed themselves. That goes to show that the foundation that they had was not able to keep them from facing, you know, getting to the point where they wanted to kill themselves. But if you compass that with those people that may not have had any money, they might have been poor, and they may not have really even known God back then, because I'm going to give you just an illustration here. People that have all had to survive all their lives being poor, when this Great Depression hit, it was nothing new for them. Why? Because they have already been in that experience, and for the most part, it didn't really faze them because they didn't really lose anything because they never had anything. But when it comes down, what gist of the message here is that the foundation that you build your life on can either be one that is built on faith in God or faith in your world and the world and its surroundings. And Jesus is making the distinction here that if you want to have a sure foundation, something that is going to help you withstand the tests and the trials and the storms of life that come on all of us, then he's trying to get you to say, to get to the point. He says, those that hear my sayings and does them or doeth them, you are like a wise man. In other words, following Christ's words, you have to go back and read the whole Sermon on the Mount and see what Jesus had to say about everything, and build your life based on what he was saying in that Sermon on the Mount and the rest of the Gospels for that matter. But building your life on that, you will be far better off. Why? Because the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. Jesus says he's going to be there to comfort you and to basically keep you from being destroyed by the enemy. But you can tell that a lot of Christians that are walking around thumbing their nose down at people because the people don't have anything or whatever the case may be, and they're riding around and they're fancy cars, got these nice big homes and things, you know, they don't live in the ghetto, and they live out, you know, in the suburbs and place like that, and they think, you know, they're all well off and fine and stuff until tragedy strikes, and then all of a sudden they don't know what to do. That means they really didn't have any faith in Christ's words in the first place. And now they out here turning away from God and going back out into the world because they can't deal with what they figure God has done to them, even though they should have been prepared in the first place, because if Jesus says the storms of life are going to come on the just and the unjust, then people need to be prepared for the storms. See, it's one thing to not be prepared for the storms, and it's another thing to be prepared. If you prepared, then when it comes, you're less likely to be hurt or damaged to the point of despair. Why? Because everything is protected. It's just like with insurance. You know, if you buy a house or a car or something like that, does good to have insurance on it just in case storms come or whatever, or accidents happen, fires, or who knows what could happen. If you buy insurance and put it on your house and car, and even your life for that matter, when certain things happen, the effects of it won't be as devastating if you have been prepared and you made arrangements for all of this stuff. That's all that Jesus is saying here. He's giving you the facts and leaving it up to you to make the decision. And then if you don't want to listen to him and something happens, hey, that's on you. It's not his fault. He gave you the warning. You just didn't want to listen to him. So, having said that, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying, in closing, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again. Good day.